And Father, we come before you tonight. We lift our faces and our hands to you, the Father of light, the King of glory. And Lord, we welcome your Holy Spirit in our midst. Lord, we can do nothing apart from you. As empty vessels, we stand before you and ask that you would fill, overwhelm each one of us with your manifest presence, that your love, your incredible power would be unleashed, wash over us, renewing, healing, transforming us, breaking chains, setting captives free, imparting only what you can, revelation, encounter, and visitation from the Lord. We ask, Lord, that you'd go way beyond what we even hope and pray for. We pray that, Lord, your presence would increase in this meeting tonight. That, Lord, you would truly touch each person. You would step into them, Christ in them, the hope of glory. We ask, Lord, that you'd go and move in our midst this night and do wonders, and do miracles in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Can we have these lights down a little bit? I can hardly see anyone. Thank you. Thank you, musicians. I think one of the scriptures the Lord spoke to me was about the presence of the Lord, and we find with Moses in Exodus 33, and I'd like to read a passage from it in verse 14. And Moses, and he said, "My presence," God said, "My presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If thy presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here." One of the greatest things is the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And Moses was wise enough to know that, Lord, if you're not with us, we're not going to move. And if you're with us, we will go up from here and have great victory and great encounters. But Lord, if you don't come with us, we're in serious, serious trouble. I think one of the hardest things for many Christians to learn is to wait upon the Lord. And the obedient enter the rest. Many of us are striving. One of the greatest things is to receive. It's not you trying to build a stairway to heaven. God has come down. He's rent open the heavens and come down. And when he comes down and touches you, it may not be because you're that great a prayer person, maybe not because you're that sorted. In fact, he loves Pandora boxes. He loves it when you get real and honest and ruthless with your sin. He loves it when you actually seek him. And you'll be found by him. The eyes of the Lord look across the earth for a heart that's wholly devoted to him. And as you do that, the manifest presence of God will come. But how many know that could be fireworks? Because it's his will, his way. And out of that place of rest, you find an amazing place of security. I was just talking to Joanne this evening when she'd finished worshiping. To find that place of rest and identity and confidence in the Lord is extraordinary. And I could see that upon her countenance. Do you realize that you can look upon a person and see who has the radiance of God upon them? Do you understand that it is a visible, spiritual thing? If the inner working of the Holy Spirit is transforming us from the inner man, it should begin to shine out. Shouldn't it? That's why the scriptures say, "Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you." But if he hasn't risen upon you, how many know we've got an issue? Whose issue is it, God's or yours? If it's not God, because his glory wants to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, if his glory is literally covering the heavens now, what is it that's stopping us from entering into the glory of God? Because the Holy Spirit's job is to glorify the Son. Isn't that right? If the Holy Spirit is to glorify the Son, therefore, how many know he wants to glorify his body? A glorious, holy, pure, radiant bride who is so in love with his son that they want to hasten his return to be married to the Lord. My beloved is mine, and I am his. And I will chase after him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength. To know him is life. To know him is life eternal. To be transformed, firstly, in the heart of man. It's the inner working of the Spirit that then begins to outwork. Those who look to him shall be radiant. Three of you excited. Those who look to him shall be radiant. The most beautiful thing to see is someone with the Shekinah glory and radiance of Christ upon them. It is the most beautiful thing to see. How many know we all need a bit of help? How many know we haven't exactly reached there where we're putting veils over our face because the glory of God is so manifest upon our countenance that people can't look at us? This is what happened to Moses, isn't it? He said, show me your glory. Let me see you face to face. Let me encounter the light of the world. Let me encounter El Shaddai Elohim, Yeshua HaMashiach. Let us see him in the fullness of his stature. Let us be changed by him. I think we get so caught up in doing that we forget being in God. Most of our strength has got to come from him. We have very little strength. In fact, he says his power is perfected in our weakness, not in our strength. His power is perfected in our weakness. When we come to the end of ourselves is when God takes over. When we realize we can't heal anyone, we can't save anyone, and we can't change anybody. How many have tried? If you realize you can't, then you realize only God can. And if you get out of the way, God will. And you'll be just blown out to be standing there watching what God can do. Not what you can do, what God can do. What God can do eclipses what man can do. If you want to see what you can do, you can strut your stuff. You can showboat, you can jump around like a lunatic. But when the manifest presence of God comes, it transforms lives eternally. It hooks them into a love which they are hungry for. They are never satisfied. They never get enough to live as Christ, to die as gain. No longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. I mean transformed. I am dying inside to find the life of Christ pour out. We must decrease that he must increase. If you're loved and 100% loved, you're very secure. The Lord's called the rock, isn't he? How would you like to be a rock as a Christian? Immovable, unchangeable, and so solid that people come looking for refuge to you because when they check you out, they know that you're not going to be shaken. Because your heart is built upon the rock. So much of his anointing is upon you that they can't even get you off the ground. Can you imagine that? You've got so much weight of the anointing upon you, you cannot lift the person off the ground. So in his presence is what? Fullness of joy. In his presence there is life forevermore. In his presence we must move. I might as well look at my notes. Psalm 41 verse 3, it's the light of your presence. It's interesting that David would talk about that, the light of his presence. If the glory of God is the manifest presence of the Holy Spirit, what does the Holy Spirit give off? pure light, doesn't he? Didn't the Holy Spirit blind Paul on the road to Damascus? Wasn't that pure light? God is light, and in him there is. That means the closer we get to him and become like him, there is less and less darkness in us. Wouldn't that be an exciting thought? Let your light shine. How many know we've got a fair few footholds and things in there that are dark? Anyone got a couple? Only three of you. Well, it's fine. Some of them look quite old, so. So when that darkness is in there, what does that mean? There's no light. Has God got any darkness in him? No. Has his presence got any darkness in it? No. So Lord, send the light. What are we supposed to do? Expose the deeds of darkness, bring them into the light. Isn't that true? Repent of the deeds of darkness and bring them into the light. Or do you want to just drag your darkness around? Because the enemy will have a foothold and he will drag you back into more darkness. But thank God the light is always more powerful, isn't it? But what can actually take away the darkness? True repentance, and nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash that darkness away. Isn't that true? Only the blood can cleanse the vessel to make it pure again, so the Holy Spirit, who is holy, can come in. Only the Holy Spirit wants to work with those who are applying the blood of Jesus to their life. How much of your life do you want the blood of Jesus to be applied to? All, we got one. Thank you. All. And what area of us should the Holy Spirit have cleansed? What part? Body, soul, and spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the sanctifier who leads us to repentance, and the Holy Spirit helps us to walk in the light as he is in the light. Can you have too much light? How much light can you contain? How much do you want? How much anointing can you hold? How much power can you hold? If the King of Glory comes into you, how much power does he have? How much anointing does he have? How much presence does the King of Glory have? So if you believe Christ in you, what's limiting Christ from moving in and through you? You. Faith believes what? All things are possible. Faith is believing that which is not seen, but believes. And by faith we receive. So how big a faith do you have? Is it a mustard seed? Or is it growing into a gigantic, massive? Can your faith continue to grow? Should we grow in faith? Should we grow in anointing? Should we go in the presence of God? Now remember, Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. The Holy Spirit came, what, as it like a dove, not wasn't a dove, but like a dove, gently upon him. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And Luke 4 then tells us the Holy Spirit then led Jesus into the wilderness. Is that right? Yeah. To be tested by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights. After 40 days and 40 nights of being tempted by the devil, he came out in the power of the Spirit. It's Luke 4:18, I think it is. How would you like to move in the power of the Spirit? How would you like to be tested by the devil? How would you like to be led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit? How many years did the Jews spend in the wilderness? The first group spent 40. How many made it? Joshua and Caleb. Where are you at? Are you in the wilderness, grumbling, speaking against leadership, having the earth open up and swallow you, turning back to Egypt? Where are you? There is a price behind the anointing. There is a price. How many know it's going to cost you everything? To be filled with the Holy Spirit and then transformed to move in the power of the Spirit is going to cost you everything. Yeah. Cost your reputation. It'll cost friendship. It can cost a lot of stuff. How would you like a double anointing? Yeah. Two of you. Some of you have read Job. Some just want someone to lay hands upon them and give them a double anointing. What did Job go through? What did God allow the devil to do? Hit him with everything. His friends, his family, his loved ones, his children. How would you like to lose your wife, your children, all your mates, and you haven't done anything wrong? Come on. You're a righteous man, you've done nothing wrong, and you've got people around you who are telling you everything you've done wrong because everything that's come upon you. And at the end of it, Job had to literally, what? Said, well, I've heard about you, I now know you, and received a double blessing, double anointing, didn't he? And then his friends that were around him who were giving him all the advice had to come and repent and ask Job to bless them so that they would be restored. How would you like a double blessing? Now it's got down to three. How many times was David anointed? Three times. Some Bible scholars out there. How many know the anointing that he got as a kid should have actually propelled him into something phenomenal? What did it propel him into? Hatred in a cave. And he lost his wife, all his children, all his possessions at Ziklag. Is that true? How many of you have had that happen? Well, you mostly go on the way to get a double blessing. What did he do? He inquired of the Lord. He strengthened himself in God, and God said, pursue and you'll get it all back. So he never gave up. He actually pursued, got his wife back, got his kids back, got his possessions back, and then what happened? He said, right, now you can build my house. I've given you a blueprint that no one else has got, how to build the house of the Lord. How would you like to go through that kind of testing to get a blueprint from heaven? None of you. So that just put a damper on anything. See, a lot of people want the presence, but they don't want the price. They want the anointing, but the anointing has a huge cost. How much did the anointing cost the apostles? Their lives. How much did it cost Christ, the anointed one? His life. But how many know that even though they slay me, I trust in the Lord. And by faith, some of them believed that even Abraham offered up his son unto... He believed in faith what? God could raise him from the dead. In fact, Isaac was a type of Christ. Abraham was like the Heavenly Father. On that same mountain, Mount Moriah, of course, God the Father offered up his son Jesus. And he didn't spare and say, oh no, he actually allowed it to come down. The hammer came down. And he was pierced and killed, and yet resurrection, power, and life. Do you realize when you die to yourself and die to your ambition and die to your sin, guess what? You might be resurrected back into God's plans, destiny, anointing, and empowerment. If you want resurrection power, you actually have to know what the cross is. It's death, isn't it? If you really want to learn how to serve, die to yourself. And then serving is not an issue because you ain't living. You're alive to serve. You love to serve because it's the nature and heart of God. You don't have to be asked to serve. You actually serve because you can't help but serve. Your time isn't your time, it's His. Your life's not yours, it's His. It's been purchased with a great price. Should the Lamb of God receive the due worship and honor that's due Him by us laying our life down for Him? If you're a dead man walking, you don't have rights. Christianity is death to your rights. Your independence, your opinions, it's His opinion, His word, His truth. Guess what? It'll set you free. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And none of these are in my notes, so I better go back to my notes. I usually do better without them anyhow. My wife said, what are you preaching? I said, I don't know. But of course we know that Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power and went around setting those oppressed by Satan free. How'd you like to be anointed with the Holy Spirit and power? How'd you like to be a minister of fire? Because the early Christians were. They were anointed with the Holy Spirit. And tongues of fire appeared above their heads, didn't it? Say, Lord, send the fire. Who I baptized, John said, I baptized with water, but He who's coming after me baptized you in the Holy Spirit and fire. What does fire do? Burns, refines. You know what evil hates? The fire. You know what Lucifer hates? The fire. He's terrified of it. All his demons hate the fire. Bible says he'll be thrown into a lake of fire and tormented by the fire, the manifest presence of God throughout eternity. So when you say send the fire today, Lord, send the fire. But how many know you've got to have oil in you first before you ignite it? That's why go and buy oil. Fill your lamp up. The oil of the presence of God, receiving the anointing, filling your vessel up, and then God can set you on fire. And the enemies of God will flee from the manifest presence of the fire of God. Terrified. Absolutely terrified of the fire. Lucifer has no fire. He's a prince of darkness. He once walked in the midst of the stones of fire, but he has been cast down because God put fire in the midst of him and consumed his angelic body to ash. He's tasted the fire once before, and he hates Christians to be baptized in the fire. He's terrified of it. Because the fire of God is the incredible, purifying, radiant holiness of God. Do you understand that? The fire is a consuming presence. And we're supposed to be pure gold and silver, aren't we? I was just reading tonight, and I thought it was amazing. It talks about a golden oil. How would you like to have a golden oil in your vessel? It says here in Zechariah chapter 3, in verse 10, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the earth. And he found there were two olive trees and two lampstands. And then he answered the two olive trees in verse 12, and beside the two golden pipes, which empty the golden oil from themselves. This was talking about two witnesses that many people think they are, but thank God they're not. How many have heard of some of them? Branham thought he was. Here we've got the golden oil inside a human vessel. Come on. Golden oil. Vessels of gold. Set on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit. To burn clean and bright and lead people in to the presence of God. There's another scripture, I'm going to find it now. It talks about this golden presence. It's interesting. It's in Job 37. verse 22, out of the north comes golden splendor. Around God is awesome majesty. Can you imagine the Lord literally coming out of the north with his splendor, which is golden, breaking forth before him? And here Job has just gone through hell on earth, and he's beginning to understand how the Lord can step into the most difficult situation, the most difficult time, and literally rescue. How would you like to have the veil open up here right now and the King of Glory step through by the Spirit into this room? How many know that could change the atmosphere somewhat? Can you see it in the Spirit? Have you seen it in the Spirit? Have you seen the Lord literally come in to the room? We need to have our eyes opened. What is the key? The eyes of our heart opened to revelation of the knowledge of the King of Glory. That's another scripture that the Lord highlighted. It's in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1. And it says, it's interesting. According to the foreknowledge of God, the Father, the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit, that you may obey Jesus Christ to be sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace to its fullest measure. Blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, which will not fade, reserved in heaven for you. And you'll be protected by the power of God through faith for our salvation to be revealed at the last time. Then it goes on in verse 7, the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found as a result of praise and glory and honor at a revelation of Jesus Christ. So here we have a revelation of Christ coming through the fire, the testing of our faith, which is what God says in the natural will go through gold, gets rid of the impurity to make it pure. We in the supernatural, in the spiritual, allow the imperfections and impurity to be consumed by the holy fire of God. And when Jesus himself starts stepping into a realm of the natural, he begins to move. I've been in meetings where God literally turns up, and in awe, I've stood back and God, this is extraordinary. I've just stood back and watched in absolute awe the King of Glory move. And you stand back and go, this is not me. This is not my power. This is a power from the King of Glory. This is straight from the throne. Well, I've seen him walk into rooms, and I remember one person, I saw them put their hand out, and the Lord put a sword in their hand, and that sword was on fire. I've seen other people that put their hands out to receive, and the Lord's put a scepter of authority in their hands. I've seen God put robes upon people. I've seen him walk up and step into people, and as they do, the power of God hits them like you've been hit by a million volts. I've watched people touched. I've seen it where the Holy Spirit moves and the whole church is touched by the power of God. Because hearts are starting to turn, not to man, not to a preacher, not to a sermon, but to look and fix your eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. Only fixing your eyes upon him. Idolatry gets you to look upon a man of God. The danger when you look upon a man of God, men of God fail. Men of God are just like you, have flaws. They have issues. Don't you dare look. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow me. Some said, oh, I follow Peter. I follow Apollos. I follow who? Well, who cares? Don't follow any of them. Follow Jesus. Stop looking for someone to lay hands upon you. Look to Jesus to lay hands upon you. Look to him to impart into you. Don't try and grab someone else's mantle or someone else's gifting. You got your own. Use it. If you don't know what it is, find out by serving. You'll find out what you haven't got. But you might be shocked. You might have one gift. Use it. Don't sit on it. Don't hide it. Use it. People say, I don't know what to do. I said, well, you obviously aren't looking very hard, are you? tell me what I need to do. I said, well, that's the wrong question right there. Laborers are few. The harvesters, plentiful. They waited upon the Holy Spirit, and what happened? They received power, and they became witnesses and went to the ends of the earth, from Judea, Samaria, to the remotest parts of the earth, preaching the gospel. And God was with them. Yes. Who knows what God did? I've watched one guy lift his hands up, fire God hit him, and he became an artist as God used his hands to paint. He never painted before in his life. He's a good friend of mine. Unbelievable prophet. Realize the prophets are supposed to receive the fire and then basically call the fire down. Wow. They used to anoint the feet. How blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. How would you like the Lord to anoint your feet and set them on fire? Yeah. I've seen that. I've seen people run at 1,000,000 miles an hour outside the human power to run. Holy Spirit comes as wind, Holy Spirit comes as fire, Holy Spirit comes as water, doesn't he? And we know there are pools of refreshing, springs, send the rain. Water is refreshing, water also enables you to fish in. And he said, I'll make you a fisherman of men. Water actually cleanses, water actually bathes and washes the dirt and grime off. So we need the water, we need the oil, we need the fire, we need the wind. We need to know God. We need to know the aspects and facets of who he is so that we are transformed into his likeness and image. That we are not glorified, that he is glorified. And your identity is not in your gift, it's not in your calling, it's not in your office. I don't care what gift and calling you got, that's not your identity. Your identity is that you're a son and daughter of the Most High God, and in that alone you need to rejoice. Anything you do cannot improve in his love. Any striving and performance-orientated ministry is just the fact you don't know the Father yet. You're still trying to please him. Do you realize he's pleased already that you've accepted his son? He's so happy, he's so excited, you're his son and daughter, and you can do nothing to improve on that love. Here we go. I'm on page one. Unity. God commands the oil, doesn't he? Blessing and unity. When brothers and sisters dwell together in unity, stop seeing the issue in your friend's life. They don't need you to point out all their issues. What they need is that you love them anyhow. Come on. Doesn't take a rocket science to figure out the people who've got problems. You might be married to one. Stop trying to fix them. Stop trying to sort them out. Just do what? Love them. And God will do a better job than you. Love, same thing. You got a friend? Love them. Love does not condone their sin, but love helps cover their sin. You understand? There's a difference. Love covers, doesn't condone. Loving isn't saying that what they're doing is right, but love is willing to do what? Cover their nakedness, cover their sin, cover their shame, and pray that the Lord Almighty will step in there and help them be free. So when you see someone, you should see the capacity that Christ looks at them. Do you realize that God can look at the most broken, smashed, destroyed, demon-possessed person and see hope? So what are you doing to your Christian brother and sister who's already saved? Do you see hope? Or are you still actually just doing the devil's work? If you've got nothing good to say, shut up. Oh, well, I'm in trouble now. I haven't even preached. It comes on the head, comes down to the garments. It's like the dew. If you've ever slept out at night, how many have slept out at night? How many know you're covered in dew in the morning? How many know I can soak your sleeping bag, soak everything you've got? How many have been dumb enough to do that, even if you're on a beach? How would you like to be soaked in the dew of the oil of the Holy Spirit? We're talking absolutely soaked in it. So soaked in it, it just comes out. grab it, squeeze it, and out of it comes the oil of God's presence. I think I'm done. It's like I am done. They're starting to sing, right? Please remind me, I left that there. I tend to forget. Oh, I made it. The anointing is without measure. The anointing is impossible to stop. The key in faith isn't just to believe, but it's to receive. And I figured out that God loves me. How many figured out that God loves you? Isn't that a good start? If you love and are loved by someone, don't you feel like you can trust them? Can you trust the Lord to give you something really good? Can you trust the Lord that He's not going to give you a snake? He's not going to give you some evil thing. He's going to give you the bread of life. Living waters. Anointing. Light. Radiance. Healing power. Salvation. How many know that's by faith? We receive it. We repent and say, Lord, forgive me. And I receive you into my heart. And the King of Glory comes in. And with that presence can come all kinds of emotions. How many know when you get loved on, you get different emotions? Some cry, some laugh, some just crawl up into a ball. Some shake, some people lay down. There's all different ways. I've seen every manifestation under the sun, that nothing of it surprises me. I had one church who didn't believe in the presence of God touching them. And I called up some young kid at the beginning and said, son, can you stand there? I see God on you. Lift your hands up. The Lord picked them up, turned them on his side and held them in the air. The whole church thought that anyone being slain, the spirit was being pushed over by the preacher. They thought it was all man-made. Shove them over, shove them over. So God, just to mess with their minds, and it was a Pentecostal church, picked this kid up and held him in the air. Never seen it again. But hey, you know, that's good just to see it once. I thought, that's amazing. I reckon, I think St. Thomas, he literally would almost come off the ground when he was in Goa and did miracles. I reckon Catherine Coleman almost literally walked almost in the air. How'd you like to see that? Wouldn't that get your eyes open? If nothing's impossible for him, what's stopping you from receiving his anointing tonight? How many, some of you should have been drinking already, do you understand? You shouldn't be waiting for the preacher to finish preaching. You shouldn't be listening to me dribble on. You should be actually engaging God. You shouldn't be coming to church just to listen. You should be at any stage when the anointing's here, engaging and receiving and being filled up. Now, remember that it takes a bit of oil to fill up an empty vessel, doesn't it? If you're already full, it's easy to ignite. I've been in meetings where there's so many people coming in full of the anointing that you could only but breathe and the Holy Spirit will hit them with power. Because they've already learned how to receive. They've already learned how to be filled. They don't come to church to get. They've already come to give. They've come as overflowing vessels. They've come with anointing. They've come with mantles. They've come with healing. They've come with words from God. They've come to be a part of the blessing in the house, not just to listen to someone rave on. Are you coming filled or are you coming empty? If you're empty, how would you like to start to get filled? So I'm going to invite you now, just wherever you are.